The First Testament lesson today is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verses 7 through 11, and you can find that on page 171 in your Old Testament Pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so, for on this account, the Lord God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be someone in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. The word of the Lord.
We're turning to the very end of Paul's first letter to Timothy. Timothy was a friend and co-worker of the Apostle Paul's, and Paul wrote a couple of letters to him about how to pastor a church and how to help people along the way and as a means of encouragement. And we're reading at the very end of this first letter, starting in verse 17, chapter 6. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord. His staff noticed that whenever they went out to lunch, which was virtually every day, he literally had almost no money in his wallet. Now, this might not seem unusual, except this was in the 50s and 60s, and the person in question was the Reverend Dr. George Mosay, who was the pastor of First Presbyterian Church of San Antonio. And whenever the staff would go out to lunch, Dr. Mosay often barely had enough to pay for his own lunch, and in fact, sometimes even had to borrow from his associate pastors to have enough. And no one asked him about this, but one day, one of his staff they were sort of hanging out and ran into Mrs. Mosay, and they just commented about, well, you know, isn't it interesting, your husband never seems to have much money in his wallet. And she said, oh, that's my doing. And they sort of looked at her, and she said, well, let me explain. When we were first married and we first moved here to First Church, George would take walks, not just at lunchtime, but if you've ever lived in San Antonio, imagine living there without air conditioning, and you're in these really hot offices. So he would go out and walk to some of the local parks, and he would sit under the tree and read. And what people soon discovered was that he was a soft touch. And wherever Dr. Mosay went, there would come people asking him for money. They didn't have anything to eat. They needed help with rent. And George would just open up his wallet, and he would take it out, and out it would go. And he would come home, and Mrs. Mosay would say, well, you know, we need some money to go buy groceries. And he'd say, oh, I don't have anything. And so eventually she decided that if they wanted to retire and wanted to pay the bills, then she would have to dole out the money, because this was a man with an open heart and an open hand. This was a man who lived with an attitude of abundance. If there was someone in need and he had something to give, he would do it. And that's the thing about an attitude of abundance that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, is it is this attitude that says, I have enough for me, and I have enough to share. That God has given me enough for my needs and for the needs of others. But to have that kind of attitude requires two things. It requires an open heart and an open hand. It requires an open heart that sees people out there as being worthy of receiving. And then it requires an open hand to say, here, let me share. And if you read throughout the scriptures, both of these things are included in almost every description of what it means to give. It's not just the scriptures say, okay, here's what you have to give, now go out and do it. It is things such as in the passage in Deuteronomy, you should rather open your hand willingly lending. Open heart, willingly lending. You should give liberally and ungrudgingly. This thing about the seventh year, I don't know if you all noticed that in here. Every 7 years, all debts were forgiven. And so the closer people got to the seventh year, the less they wanted to lend. All of you bankers get this, you know, that it's... And it says, don't be ungrudging. Have an open heart. There are people in need. Give. And part of the reason for this is that's the way God is. God pours out God's blessings upon us. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God's blessings fall upon all people, regardless of whether we are good, bad, or in the middle someplace. This is God. God looks and sees and provides. But there's a problem. And the problem is, the more money we have, the less open our hearts are. And this is nothing new. Let me be clear. This is nothing new. The prophets talk about this. Deuteronomy talks about this. But this has really been brought home over the last 10 or 15 years in just dozens of studies. And I'm going to talk about two of them because they're two of my favorites. The first one is the candy bowl study. Okay, so this is how it worked. The researchers brought people in and they said to them, okay, here's what we want you to think about. We want you to either think about the fact that you have more than most people and think about what that's like. Or we want you to think about the fact you have less than most people have. Okay, in other words, you think about whether more people have more or more people have less than yourself. So they had the people think about this. Then they put them in a room, and in the room was a big bowl of candy. And they said, okay, listen, you know, on your way out, you can take as much candy as you want, but just know that whatever candy is left is going to some kids. We support a homeless shelter, and the candy is going to go down there to those kids. Well, the people who thought that they had more than everyone else took more than everyone else. And those who thought they had less than everyone else took very little and left most for the kids. You know, we would think maybe it would be the other way around, but it was fascinating what happened. The second one is one that was done with these virtual reality goggles. You all know what those are. They're like goggles, and you put them on, and you can sort of see street scenes. And what they did was they were looking for eye contact, if people would make eye contact. And so the virtual reality scene was you'd be walking down a street And here would be all of these people, some sort of middle class, some poor, some, and they'd all be trying to make eye contact with whoever had on the VR goggles. And so they watched the way the eyes went and who made eye contact and who didn't. And what was interesting was the more money you had, the less eye contact you made with anyone, especially with those who might appear to be poor and might want something from you. And as I was thinking about this after first service, just think about the ads. If you get a catalog for a, say, moderately priced clothing, the models are almost all smiling and looking right at the camera, right? Now, you get one of these catalogs, say, from Somerset, and it has all these high-end stuff, and you have these supermodels. Are any of them looking directly at the camera? No. They're looking elsewhere. See, and that's part of it, is that somehow it's weird that the more we have, the less we see others as being worthy of us sharing. And so this is why God calls us to have open hearts, to work on this sense of making eye contact, of looking at others and seeing them as our equal. It's a fascinating thing. All right. Open hearts, open hands. All right. Second story. When Cindy and I were living in the panhandle in this small sort of ranching, farming, oil town, got a call one day that this family wanted, from the funeral home, wanted me to do a memorial service for a long-retired physician. And I said, sure, be happy to do it. Once upon a time, he was a member of the Presbyterian Church, so I was sort of reading his obituary before meeting with the family, and in the obituary it stated that he'd left this immense gift, financial gift, to the community foundation. As many of you know, counties, cities across the country have community foundations. And so he'd left this just sort of stupendous gift. And so when I met with his daughter, his wife was deceased, his daughter was the only relative, and we were meeting, and I said, wow, you know, your dad was an amazingly generous guy. He gave this stupendous gift to the community. And she said, yeah, you know what that gift was? I said, no. She goes, those were the Christmas gifts I never got. Those were the vacations we never took. My dad worked 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, always on call. My mom kept asking him, can we take a vacation? Can we maybe even go to Amarillo? And the answer was always no. We don't spend money on us. We don't spend money on things like that. So there were no birthday gifts, no vacations, nothing. And so on the surface, by just reading the obituary, you would assume that this man understood an abundance attitude. Here he is giving this tremendous gift right to the community. What a selfless gesture. And yet, his abundance attitude didn't extend to his wife, his daughter, to others while he was alive. For you see, an abundance attitude is not just saying I have enough for myself and enough to share. It's and to share with those who are poor and in need. It is also to share with those that I love. It is also to share with me. And I realize I'm not supposed to say this on Pledge Sunday, because you all may go back into your pledges and go, wait a minute, let me scratch that number out. But I want you to listen again to one line that I think has long been overlooked in this piece that Paul writes to Timothy. As for those in this present age who are rich, command them not to be haughty, meaning having an open heart, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. As Presbyterians, we come out of that sort of Puritan tradition that says, you know, no extravagance, no enjoyment, don't smile, don't have a good time. But that's not where Paul comes from. Paul is a good Jew, and Paul understands that life is about living, and life is to be enjoyed, and that God gives us what God gives us, not only to share in abundance, but to enjoy our family and our friends and everything that the Lord has provided for us. How many of you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Right? So you have the scene at the wedding, and they're dancing and singing Lochheim, right, to life. That's a good Jewish way of understanding the world. That even if you don't have a lot of money, which no one essentially in that film has, Tevye certainly doesn't, but it is you enjoy that moment. Why? Because it's a moment God has given you, and you enjoy the wine and the food. I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, there is nothing better for a person than to eat and to drink and to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Right? See, that's an attitude of abundance. It is to share with those in need, and it is to enjoy the life that we've been given. And so what it means for us is that the challenge for us is to find a balance. It is to find a balance so that we don't spend everything on ourselves, but that we share what we have. But it's also, as the Apostle Paul says, it's not that we give everything away and nothing for ourselves, but that we enjoy it as well. And that's the challenge for all of us. And that's the challenge that I give you, is to find the balance. Find that balance in your life, so that your hand and your heart are open to God, to stranger, to neighbor, to family, to self. That's the challenge. And so I hope as you come forward and bring your pledge cards at the end, you will consider what it means to be finding that life balance with an attitude of abundance. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for pouring out your blessings upon us, that we have places to live and food to eat and water to drink, that we can enjoy life. Help us to do not only that, but help us to share what we have by those who are not enjoying life, that they might find themselves with what they need. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.